You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
April the 18th, 2022, reminding you we are live streaming right now at rumble.com. You can go to rumble.com, enter one word, Larry Connors, USA, all one word, and you'll go right live into our studio when you push the live button. And glad to have you join us. Many I see are watching later in the day because they're not in position to watch now. Glad to have you, either watching or listening. I hope you had a great Easter and you recognize it for the real value it is. There's a reason I say that. We'll come to it later in this hour. Here is something that's kind of slipped under the threshold for many. There's a member of the Senate that basically is talking about sending boots to Ukraine, putting U.S. boots on the ground in Ukraine. This senator was asked, you think we need to step things up? Are you arguing that President Biden is basically wrong? The senator replied, I think President Biden's leadership has been steady and constructive. That right there should tell you which party this senator belongs to. He thinks Biden's been doing everything great, been steady, constructive. But he adds, this is a critical moment. Putin has shown us how brutal he can be if he's allowed to continue. I deeply worry that the American people have to be involved to stop him. So, yeah, he's suggesting putting boots on the ground. Who's this senator? Delaware Democrat Senator Chris Coons. I still say I do not want U.S. boots on the ground in Ukraine. I want to supply them everything. We should have sent them in before all the shooting started. So Biden failed. He got behind the curve. And there are people dying because we didn't get equipment in there soon enough, and we're still not getting it in. Russia bombarded cities across Ukraine today. At least four missile strikes reported in one western city. That's, of course, moving closer to Poland. Meanwhile, Ukrainian forces continue to resist Russian attacks in the southeast port city of Mariupol. They were offered a deadline to surrender, saying, according to the Russians, you surrender or you die. And they said, we're not surrendering, and you're dying. So the fighting continues. The fate of the city still hangs in the balance at this time. The mayor says that Russian forces began issuing passes for movement within the city, and they announced entry and exit routes would be closed, warning men in the city will be, quote, filtered out. Filtered out, that's a nice, polite word of saying you'll be executed. The Ukrainian president said our situation in Mariupol is inhumane. Well, a federal judge today voiding the Biden administration's mask mandate for using masks on trains and planes, but, of course, it's just been released. It's set to expire May 3rd anyway. We'll see what happens going forward. In the meantime, several colleges and universities are reinstating mask mandates. They say there's a significant increase on COVID-19 cases on campus. But another expert says they're just not necessary. Make your own decision. Former Twitter CEO Jack Dorsey. That's right, he's former CEO. He doesn't even own any shares of Twitter, apparently. He says the board is dysfunctional as it handles billionaire Elon Musk's offer to purchase the company. He said it's consistently been the dysfunction of the company that messes things up. That's the former CEO, Jack Dorsey. We're going to get into that story in more detail coming up. Dateline Chicago, it's a Monday. What's the count out of Chicago over the weekend? 14 shot. One of them fatally. We also have the Border Patrol apprehending at least 23 people coming across the southern border that are all on the terrorist watch list. They caught those 23. How many got away? House Republicans are demanding the Homeland Security Secretary Mayorkas produce key immigration enforcement data they say is being hidden from the public. And I agree, he is hiding things. In the meantime, Kansas Governor Kelly signing a bill prohibiting cities and counties in Kansas from enacting sanctuary policies for illegals. Good. And then we have the Florida Department of Education rejecting 41% of math textbooks. We'll examine why when we continue. Stand by, please. For years, I've told you, be well with Wellington, Wellington Environmental. That's because I know the excellent work Wellington does when it comes to making your home, your business, even hospitals safe. See, recently I asked Wellington to check a relative's home. The relative had been constantly sick. Doctors couldn't find a cause. I asked Tom Wellington, please check the house. After extensive testing, Wellington could rule out mold and other air and water toxins. Well, that was a major relief. And the negative results gave doctors added information. So when I encourage you to call Wellington, I mean it. Wellington, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. A-rated by the Better Business Bureau, Missouri and Illinois. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. Be well with Wellington. Wellington Environmental.
My sponsors keep this program on the air. So my thanks to John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest price. So when you need a roof, remember this sponsor for this program, John Beal Roofing. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Ever since I was a young boy, I played the silver ball. From Soho down to Brighton, I must have played them all. But I ain't seen nothing like him in any amusement hall. That deaf, dumb, blind kid sure plays a mean pinball.
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Democrats and members of the media are bashing Elon Musk for attempting to fight censorship and buy Twitter.
Musk is a danger to Twitter and to freedom of speech. So creating an arena for hate, to me, that's what that sounds like, an opportunity for him to have no consequences.
Has this person ever been on Twitter before? Because I'm pretty sure right now it's an arena for hate. It's a swamp down there. It's a hellscape. So suddenly if Elon Musk comes in, the utopia that is Twitter is going to change in a hurry. Just this meltdown over this takeover is the best unintentional comedy ever, guys. And look, I think the real underlining story here is that, you know, one would suspect that the reinstatement of a certain former president, and I'm not talking about Jimmy Carter, but Donald Trump, is making people go ballistic here at this point. But maybe under his leadership, if Musk is successful, Twitter will get out of the business of censoring those on the right or banning those who don't conform to the whims of left-wing blue-check Twitter. And maybe stories that are problematic to Democrats in power won't get squashed. And that prospect is scary, I guess, because at this point, Twitter has served more like an activist organization than as a social media platform embracing free speech.
Those are the words of Joe Concha, a Fox News contributor. And you heard the opening from Fox News as to how Democrats, progressives are absolutely hair on fire that Elon Musk might buy Twitter. He bought 9.5% to 10% share and then decided, you know, I may just want to own the whole company because I can't. He thought he could do it without having the whole company, but it apparently meant that he would have to be on the board. As a board member, he could not buy the company. So he said, I want to be a board member. So he started making plans to buy it, something like $43, $44 million. And he said, I think I can afford it. Yeah, he can. Tesla, SpaceX, got multi-billions. It's a battle between him and Jeff Bezos, who's the richest, depending on the stock price at that day. But he has set off a firestorm. And you heard Joe Concha enlisting some of these folks saying that if he gets hold of Twitter, my God, democracy will be at stake. and it'll be filled with hate speech. And Joe Concha made a very good point. Has that person ever been on Twitter? Because there's a lot of hate speech on there. The guy that was involved in the subway shooting, or at least charged with it, last week, was on Facebook, Twitter, self, other social sites, proclaiming hate and things and violence and so forth, but he was allowed to be there. They didn't do anything to shut him down. And I'm looking at CNN Plus, that platform they just launched that no one's watching. I want to read you a headline that they have up on CNN Plus thinking this might pull in some viewers. White supremacist law. Concern for new abortion laws. How do you compare abortion laws to white supremacy? You have to manufacture it. You know, the majority of abortions are black children. They're minority children. So abortion, as it exists, kills more blacks and minorities than stopping abortions. And certainly kills more than police. But don't let the facts get in the way of your story and your narrative. Newt Gingrich, former GOP House Speaker from Georgia, said, when I watch the reaction from the far left, just when word surfaced that Elon Musk might buy Twitter out entirely and just own it, and how they started coming forward with maybe creating a poison pill that would meant that they would be able to offer the shareholders even more money or dilute the price so it would upset Musk, Gingrich says, it's almost funny.
You know, if you're on the hard left, you don't want freedom of speech. You want freedom of your speech and nobody else. You got a little bit of this yesterday when we had a congresswoman objecting to people singing Christian songs on Easter. You know, this whole notion of I get to define what your free speech is. And I think that Musk represents a danger because he doesn't follow the rules.
No, he does not follow the rules. Free speech to many means your free speech ends when your fist hits my nose. But it also means that free speech that even though I might not like what you say, unless you're saying something that would spark panic, you're allowed to do so. That's why, pardon me, that's why we have our Constitution. That's why we have lost young men and women in wars as they fought for freedom of speech and democracy, be it here or in some other country. And former Twitter CEO Jack Dorsey, as I mentioned in news and commentary at the top of the hour, he said, if you look into the history of the Twitter board, now he was CEO, he was a member of the board. He says, it's intriguing, as I was a witness on its early beginnings, it was mired in plots and coups, especially among Twitter's founding members. I wish it could be made into a Hollywood thriller one day. That's what Jack Dorsey tweeted on the platform Sunday, and saying it's consistently been the dysfunction of the company. Another Twitter user responded by asking, are you allowed to publicly say that, Dorsey? Say that? And Dorsey responded, no, but he did it anyway. Twitter said Friday they were going to set up a plan to block Musk attempts to make the purchase. And Dorsey did give out another tweet on that Saturday. They quoted a venture capitalist as saying, good boards don't create good companies, but a bad board will kill a company every time. And Dorsey added, big facts. I said he's not on the Twitter board. I stand corrected. He is actually on the Twitter board as we speak. He's going to leave at the end of his term, which is scheduled next month at the 2022 meeting of shareholders. Musk tweeted Saturday that with Dorsey leaving the board, the Twitter board collectively owns almost no shares. They will have no shares, and their economic interests are simply not aligned with shareholders. Obviously not. But the left absolutely fears what will happen if Musk gets control. They claim he will have control of a major news outlet. Get it in your head once and for all. Twitter is not a news organization. It is not a news source. It may link you to legitimate news sources. This program is not to be considered a news program. It is an opinion show. For decades, I was a news anchor, and that's what you got. On this program, I give you my opinion. I make sure I have facts to back it up. But as we began this hour, you heard news and commentary. I'm labeling it for you. I'm going to give you some facts, but I'm also going to add some comments. That's a big difference. But the left doesn't get it. The left doesn't get it because everything they say does not, one, have to be fact-checked, will not be fact-checked. They'll make a lie. They'll cover it up with another lie. And they just don't care if you think it's news or fiction. They're going to do it anyway. But when they say Twitter is a news organization he can control, no, 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 no. And then there's a big lie being built into the left argument about worrying about those who have a lot of money that do control media outlets. Gingrich, again, I want you to hear from him, and then I'm going to give you some examples. He said, despite all of their cries, oh, my God, Twitter will be controlled by somebody who might be at least an independent, might be conservative, certainly isn't our progressive liberal. And Gingrich says they're just big tears because they are lying while they cry.
You have a bunch of people who protect each other, who invest in each other. You have a handful of very, very wealthy investors who control dozens and dozens of boards. And a large part of the move of the big boards towards woke left-wing policies has been a function of this handful of investors who have picked their people to serve on these boards. Musk would be a genuine threat, not just to Twitter, but he'd be a threat to Facebook. He'd be a threat to Google because he would open up and allow people to freely be involved in a dialogue.
And that's just not the way your democracy should run, is it? Of course not. You should not be allowed to have a free opinion. You should not be allowed to express your opinion if it goes against the state. My God, you're this close. You're this close in closing to China and Russia and Hong Kong and other communist Marxist countries. And they want to get upset with Musk buying Twitter, saying he will control a major news operation. I remind you again, it is not a news organization. It's a social media platform. But since you brought it up, since you progressives dared bring it up, let's help sort out the facts versus your lies. The Washington Post, that's owned by another billionaire, Amazon founder Jeff Bezos. He bought the Post in 2016 for $250 million. Did I hear anybody on the left crying out he shouldn't control the paper? No. No. Some of the paper's columnists have recently opposed Musk buying Twitter. They published a column by former CEO of Reddit saying that Elon Musk's vision of free speech will be bad for Twitter. The Washington Post is saying that. And he went on to say, Musk's appointment to Twitter's board shows we need regulation of social media platforms to prevent rich people from controlling our channels of communication. That appeared in the Washington Post. He didn't say controlling our news source, but channels of communication. The Washington Post fits both of those categories. Columnist Max Boot said Musk was the last person who should be taking the reins of Twitter. Another liberal columnist said that Musk's takeover might allow people to leave the social media site. Many have been doing it anyway. I know several people that signed off. I saw some signing off over Facebook over the weekend, said I'm done with it. Then you also have The Atlantic. The Atlantic, Lorraine Powell Jobs, the widow of Steve Jobs, is majority owner of The Atlantic since 2017. The Atlantic, of course, endorsed Hillary Clinton. How fair do you think The Atlantic is in presenting news? One Atlantic writer said it made his feelings plain about Musk calling him a billionaire BSer. You wouldn't say that about Jobs, though, would you? Your boss. The billionaire CEO of Salesforce and his wife own Time magazine. And what did they do? They made the person of the year President Biden. Bloomberg, former New York City mayor, billionaire media mogul, owns that company. There's another billionaire that owns a true news source. And he ran for the 2020 presidential election, if you recall. L.A. Times, owned by billionaire business tech man. Also critical that Musk would buy Twitter. All of these billionaires, Gingrich was right, they are so worried. They want to control the media. But they don't want anybody that's opposed to them. Even if you're trying to be fair, they don't want you to have control of anything. Oh, I'm supporting Musk on it. I'm not buying one of his cars. I'm not going to get into electric cars, but can't afford it anyway. Could care less about spending money on it. But I will support him on this. I think we all should. Coming up, the latest on Russia and Ukraine.
Well, I got my first truck when I was three. Drove 100,000 miles on my knees. Hauled marbles and rocks and thought twice before I hauled a Barbie doll bed for the girl next door. She tried to pay me with a kiss and I began to understand there's something women like about a pickup man.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
One more point about Musk buying Twitter. I told you, you're that close, if the progressives have their way, of shutting down free speech and true democracy in this nation. Now, later you're going to hear them say, oh, my God, the Republicans are going to be responsible for destroying this country. I'll let them have their say. But let me contrast what they're saying about Musk and Twitter with what's happening in China and its own, quote, Twitter. It's Sina Weibo, I think, is the way it's pronounced. It's heavily censored. The Chinese alternative to ban Twitter. They now have banned a hashtag quoting the Chinese national anthem. Apparently, folks were using that hashtag with complaints about all of the brutal coronavirus lockdowns imposed on Shanghai and other cities. They've had people under lock and key for days, if not weeks now. So they're just shutting it down. Is that what you want? You want the government to control everything you see and hear? Why don't you try living in China or Russia? There right now is in a Chinese jail a WNBA, National Basketball Association player, a woman's National Basketball Association player, being held on charges of trying to smuggle drugs into China. She apparently had a vape pen, which may or may not have had marijuana. I don't know if the pen themselves are illegal, but what was in it might have been or not. It could be faked up charges. But she's in jail in China and probably facing minimum 6 years. Do you not think that this women's national basketball player would love to be back in this country carrying the U.S. flag instead of despising it and calling this country systemically racist? I told you I'd update you on Ukraine and Russia. They've been talking about a ceasefire. The word coming to the U.N. Undersecretary, he says ceasefires, they're not on the horizon right now. Maybe in a couple of weeks, that will be for whatever's left of Ukraine at that point. In case you missed news and commentary at the top, I told you about a U.S. senator who is now saying, yeah, I think it's time for us to put boots on the ground. No, it is not. We never should. Never will, I hope. And this same senator is praising President Biden for what he's done so far. It's a Democrat. Many people think Republicans are war hawks. Here's a Democrat saying, it's time for us to maybe send troops to Ukraine. Senator Chris Coons, Democrat of Delaware. And when you're talking about ceasefires and peace talks, how far do you think they're going to go and how soon when the UN at last report says at least 70 killed, more than 50 injured, and 130-plus attacks on human health care facilities, hospitals, nursing homes, since the invasion began? If you're killing the elderly, the infirm, the young, the sick, you see Russia interested in ceasefire? They want the populace to pay. They want the people to suffer so badly that they cry out for, wave a white flag, bring an end to this. Right now, last report, 1,000 are sheltering in a plant in Mariupol. They've been told you can leave now, but many of them don't want to leave. They said you can leave or die there. And they said, we're not leaving and we're not going to die. Our State Department spokesman said that Russia's attacks in Ukraine in recent days, just in recent days, illustrates Russia is carrying out a campaign of terror against the people of Ukraine. This is not just launching a war, it's a campaign of terror, a campaign of brutality, despicable aggression against the people of Ukraine. Coming up, Florida Governor DeSantis is banning several math books. Math books? Now, what could be wrong with 2 plus 2? Well, maybe it doesn't add up to 4. I'll explain when we continue. Ackerman Toyota believes when you need service, you want genuine parts, certified mechanics, no hidden cost. You get all of that with Ackerman Toyota. Plus, if you're ready for a new car or pre-owned, see what Ackerman has on the lot or what's coming. Ackerman Toyota, Hampton and Interstate 44. Ackerman Toyota for life.
That you won't let Jimmy start, big boy. Can't you hear me when I call?
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Well, you ain't. Math is about getting the right answer. And we want kids to learn to think so they get the right answer. It's not about how you feel about the problem or to introduce some of these other things. It's there's a right answer and there's a wrong answer, and we want all our students getting the right answers. And so most of the books that did not meet Florida standards for whatever reason happened to be in the early grades. As you get into the older grades, most of those books did meet the standards. But we're going to continue to focus the education on the actual strong academic performance of the students. We don't want things like math to have, you know, some of these other concepts introduced. It's not been proven to be effective, and quite frankly, it takes our eye off the ball.
Those are the words of the Florida Governor Ron DeSantis. The Florida Department of Education rejecting 41% of the math textbooks for use in public schools, citing they were filled with critical race theory and other issues. You had to really, really be using a big shoehorn to put critical race theory and things of that nature into math. But they do it. The textbooks were printed. They're being distributed and used elsewhere. You need to look at the textbook your child is getting. Even though it's a math book, look at it. See what it says in there. See if it starts giving you numbers about critical race theory or trying to work out some problem involving critical race theory or transgenderism, things of this nature. Of course, he's been leading a push to reform education standards throughout the state. He said told publishers in 2021, we want to eliminate Common Core standards. So the textbooks are either impermissible with either Florida's new standards or contain prohibited topics. 41% of math books were rejected, mostly for the lower grades. He said it seems some publishers attempted to slap a coat of paint, as he describes it, a coat of paint on an old house built on the foundation of Common Core and indoctrinating concepts like race essentialism and especially bizarrely for elementary school students. He said, I'm grateful the commissioner of the Department of Education and the team conducted a thorough vetting of these textbooks to ensure they comply with the law. He said the highest number of the books were for grades K through 5, the ones that got rejected. Teach them young. Teach them young. Make them believe it, and they'll continue to carry it. They're attacking our children on a constant basis. Let me put it to you this way. If you are the progressive side and you've got children, what if I found a way every day to work into the math textbook for your child biblical verses? What would be your reaction? You're trying to indoctrinate my child. You're trying to proselytize it. That doesn't fit here. And I would agree. I would agree. But then maybe I want to play by the same rules you play by, which are kind of made up as you go along, right? Democrats, between the books, the Florida law that got passed, which they shouted was a don't say gay bill, which it never was. It's a parental rights bill. You will not find the word gay anywhere in the bill. Now, I've seen some leftists putting out propaganda over the weekend on Twitter and elsewhere. The gay is in the... No, it is not. Find it. Show it to me. Don't say gay. Show me where it says that. And then, of course, Disney and others all joining the corporate wokeness so they can jump in and add to the confusion and make it appear to be even more onerous of what they're trying to do in Florida when they're protecting kids. I will remind you again, I have homosexual friends. It's not my choice of style. It's not my lifestyle. But I'm not going to be judging. I leave all the judgment to God. That is not my job. I have enough time, enough trouble justifying myself to God, much less justifying someone else. And I know what the Bible says, and I know where you stand reference to what the Bible is. But again, that's your lifestyle. I won't condemn you, and I still love and care about you. And if you're transgender or you think you might be and you're confused, I don't care if you're adult or child, I feel for you, I pray for you. But don't shove it down the throats of those to make them conform and accept and buy into it. It's a trending thing to do. They know, Democrats know they're going to lose on that point. They're going to lose on crime. They're going to lose on all the wokeness that's been spread across. Defund police, open borders. And in fact, one of the cries of concern and fear come from far left Senator Elizabeth Warren. In a New York Times op-ed, Republicans may win the midterm elections, reclaiming the House and Senate. She's electing and understanding, I should say, that Republicans are betting a stalled Biden agenda won't give Democrats enough to run on the midterm elections. They might be right. It's not just a stalled agenda. It's a failed agenda, and it's a progressive agenda no one wants. Over the weekend, Democrat strategist Donna Brazile, now working, I guess, for ABC. I don't know who she's working for. She takes some money from anybody that will give it to her. She said the GOP is running on fumes from the energy of a big lie of 2020. She said Democrats are running an economy that's roaring back and fighting inflation. What is she drinking? I might want to try some of that. I hope it wouldn't make me that stupid. And there are Dems who want to speak out about this, but they're afraid to. They're afraid that if they speak out, that they'll be labeled as woke and dangerous. They'll be shunned. But, of course, some see the Republicans are the real threat. That if you're looking for a problem, if you're looking for a threat to democracy, first it's Elon Musk having control of Twitter, a news source, which is not. It's a social media platform. And two, ignoring how many mainstream actual news sources, the Washington Post, the Atlantic, the Time Magazine, Bloomberg Publications, are owned by multi-billionaires. But it's okay because they're preaching the right message you want to hear from the progressives. Now, here's an example of one of the radical progressives that's trying to warn you. This is the progressive view of Paul Revere running through the town, one if by sea, two if by land, and shouting out, "The British are coming, the British are coming." But that was while we were trying to establish our democracy. This guy is progressive who wants to destroy it, and yet he wants to lay it at the feet of Republicans. It's stupid, it's nonsensical, but it's worth listening to. Go ahead.
We've seen this party become radicalized. We've seen this party completely become unfit for the mainstream and untethered from democracy. And if you turn control of this government over to the Republicans, you are turning over the democracy.
Yeah, if you turn it over to Republicans, you're going to ruin our democracy. See, that's become a mantra lately. Have you noticed it? Pelosi said it. If Republicans win, that's the end of our democracy. Hillary Clinton said it again, still trying to be relevant. If Republicans win, it's the end of our democracy. Who tried to steal the last election? Who was it who blamed Trump and Russian collusion? And how many of the mainstream, now state-controlled media, including big tech, claim that you're not even allowed to talk about the election was not fair? But Hillary's allowed to, and she still has not accepted she got beat. Neither Stacey Abrams in Georgia. She thinks she should have won. Well, newly Democrat-elected Senator Warnock is worried he's going to lose this new seat because of the Democrat lack of platform or stupid platform. It's a long walk on a short plank right into the ocean. And coming up, how some of your federal dollars are being used to communicate and multiply the stories of divisiveness in this country. And it even comes to the subject of Easter. Please stand by. I don't endorse anyone unless I believe in them. So I can tell you with confidence and with personal knowledge, Rottler Pest Solutions will rid your home, your business, of pests without any danger to your family or pets. Rottler, the only pest control company you need. Call for a free estimate. 877-ROTTLER, 877-ROTTLER, or go to Rottler.com, Rottler Pest Solutions.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
So here we are, apparently the progressives all concerned that if Elon Musk gets hold of Twitter, democracy comes to an end. Because everything on Twitter is supposed to be progressive. Otherwise, you get censored, you get banned. PBS just issued a documentary on Nancy Pelosi. I thought she had died. I swear when I saw, I thought the woman must have died. How did I miss that? Because it is glowing with praises for Nancy Pelosi. This is public broadcasting service, paid for in part, a large part, with your federal tax dollars. In the year 2020, they got $445 million. Larry Connors, USA, will take just $5 million from the federal budget. Thank you, and I'll be good. And we'll make the program even bigger. Let's start a petition. Now, PBS insists that's only 20% of our budget. That's why they have all the fund drives. And PBS has some good programming on it. It does. But this was a puff piece for Nancy Pelosi. It was a frontline series. Normally, those are very good investigative pieces. But it's a documentary highlighting the career of Nancy Pelosi, praising her as railing against the, quote, white capitalist patriarch system. Nancy is white, you know, and very rich, she and her husband. He's made a lot of money while Nancy has been in the House. But for some reason, you can be white and rich and progressive, and you're one of the good guys. The filmmaker, according to this piece that was written up, and I don't have the source on here, but it followed it accurately, basically, said Pelosi's Power, that was released back in March, spent 78 minutes, a majority, I should say, of the 78 minutes praising the 82-year-old California lawmaker, calling it, their description is, a gripping and unprecedented look at the life and legacy of the first woman Speaker of the House, how she has gained and wielded power across three decades. As I said, at first I thought it's part of a eulogy. She died. No, she hasn't. But they're going to praise her, make her special, and talking about the resistance she got from the far left, the squad. And that's probably about as tough as they got on her, saying that she wasn't going to be strong enough on some of the green pie-in-the-sky stuff. There's no critical commentary in this thing, but when the same producer did Trump's American Carnage, The Choice 2020, Trump versus Biden, the Mueller investigation, Zero Tolerance, all critical of conservatives and Republicans. $445 million of your tax federal money helped pay for that. You know, I've had Randy Mayfield on here before several times. Randy, a pastor, one of my pastors at Central Presbyterian Church in Clayton for decades, also headed up our foreign missions. He was doing a piece Sunday. He said he's watching the Smithsonian Channel that also gets federal dollars. And he wrote in there, he said, it's telling us their version of Christ's final days, quoting or actually saying some of the pieces presented by Professor Bart Ehrman, UNC Chapel Hill, University of North Carolina, says that Jesus had no idea what was about to happen to him. He didn't know his Last Supper was his Last Supper, and that the triumphant entry into Jerusalem was not a big deal, just a small group who came to see who was coming in, and the Gospels don't know what they're talking about, but Bart does. That's what Randy said. Wow, this is the world we live in. The Smithsonian to saying the Bible, the most documented book in the appearances of Christ than any other, according to this pastor in North Carolina, Chapel Hill, Christ didn't know all this was going to happen. Randy said, I can say with much faith and boldness, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. And happy Easter, Bart. Randy, you'd nailed it. And, of course, they had the big Easter egg roll at the White House yesterday. President welcoming the kids back after the COVID blackout said thank you and welcome. Have a happy Easter. And, of course, there was no mention of God and the sacrifice made for mankind on Easter. Playing it safe, trying to keep all faiths involved. But Easter is about Jesus Christ's resurrection, period. Not the bunny rabbit. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.